You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. The authors and editors of the Bible were led or influenced by God, resulting in writings that are designated in some sense as the Word of God. Explore this truth in week 3 of our series, Worldview.
Alright, good evening, 7 p.m. service. And of course, just give a warm handshake to your seatmate. Oh, I know it's cold outside, so give a warm handshake. And give them your best Sunday smile as well, alright? Greet them sa atupad ninyo. Now, moving on, today we're down to the third installment of our series, Worldview. This series, Worldview, is all about having the right perspective, the right worldview. Through looking into the scriptures or the Bible. In other words, as believers, our worldview has to be shaped correctly by the Word of God. It's kind of like mubay kag eyeglass. If ever you need a pair of glasses, but you need the right kind of glasses to see the world. And the same thing, for us to view the world correctly, to have the right lens, we need the Word of God for it. As Christians, our views, beliefs, and convictions should no longer be shaped by the world, but by the Word of God. That's what this whole series is all about. Understanding how important God's Word is, that it should affect how we live our lives, how we view the world as well. Now, the past couple of weeks, we talked about devotion, meditation, how we ought to read the Word. Last week, we talked about the benefits of the Word of God. What can we get when we read God's Word? Now, today, we're going to talk about the authority of Scripture, the authority of God's Word. And speaking of authority, how many of you are familiar with these items right here? Especially if you're a motorist, if you have your own motorcycle or your own cars, you're driving down the street, you know what these things are, right? Mga traffic light. Now, interestingly, as simple as that gadget is there to tell people whether they can go, slow down, or stop. It manages the traffic. Or in the case of light traffic lights, we have these people right here, like this guy. They manage the traffic. They do certain signals, kung di ka pwede muagi sa road pa, or pwede na ka muagi ba. Now, I'm showing all these things because if you look at it, why do we have to listen or follow those people or the traffic lights? Kung ka-drive ka sa street, like here in Dumaguete, why do you need to follow these people? When the traffic light says stop, why do you need to follow it? It's part of the rules. In other words, these people, kanin sila, and katong traffic light, they have the authority. We follow and we obey it because they have the authority to tell us if we should stop our cars or motorcycles or if we can go on and drive na. In other words, authority is a pretty important thing. We listen, subscribe, and obey to people or to things of authority. Just like this other sign right here. Attention, Titanic, the art exhibition is currently closed due to water damage. Our apologies for any inconvenience. So it tells you can't go in because it's broken. It says there by the management. Now, if someone were to make up another sign, let's say, muato ko diya, maggamagama og sign ako ah. Or if let's say, muato ko sa tungas dalan one of these days, magpretend ko nga traffic aid ko, magstop ko dito, uy, di mo pwede. You think people would follow me? No one would follow me. If magpataka-pataka ako, signal ito nga, sir, di ka pwede muagi, go and all that. If I just walk in the street one of these days, if I make a sign like that, no, it's not made by the management, no one would believe me. No one would follow me simply because I don't have the authority. Authority is pretty important. We follow, we subscribe, and obey to people or things in power if they have the authority. For example, if you are a student here today, if you are a student, when you go to your classrooms, who is in authority in the classroom? Your teachers. They are the ones who teach you, who gives the rules. If you're a single professional here, when you go to your workplace, who is the guy in authority? Your boss, of course. Not you. Your boss, whoever he is, man, he is the guy in authority. And we follow and obey the instructions these people tell us. When you go home to your homes, if you're not yet married, you say, in authority, ang parents ninyo. Dili ang pinakabunsong anak, dili ang pet ninyo. It's your parents. There are people in authority and we follow people in authority. Now, the same thing, I'm saying all of these things because talking about the Bible, we need to understand the Bible has authority. It can speak into our life. That's why we need to read God's Word because it has the authority to speak the truth into our life. A lot of people, they don't want to read God's Word. They feel like wala rin is just some book. It's equal to all other books of wisdom made by brilliant-minded people. Pareho na silang. These people miss out the fact that the Bible is not like any other book out there because it has authority. And the more we grasp and understand of the authority it has, the more it will encourage us to all the more read and accept and receive what it has to tell to us. That's why we're having this series. Now, this installment, the authority of the scripture, this is a two-part preaching. So I can't cover everything today. What's going to happen is that for the first part, we're going to talk about the inspiration of scripture. And next week, we're going to talk about the inerrancy and infallibility of scripture. That simply means that scripture is not wrong. All things written in it is true. So we're going to talk about that next week. But for today, we're going to talk about the inspiration of scripture. All right? So we're going to learn more about that. And for that, can you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. In verse 16, it says there, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So I'm going to share a couple of things from our main verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Firstly, that all scripture is God-breathed. Everything, all scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says there, all scripture is breathed out by God. Or breathed out by God, spoken by God. It came from God ang all scripture. In other words, when you read your Bibles, even katong part nga pagbasa nimo, puro mga numbers man eh. Puro statistics. If you're in the book of Numbers. Or when you're reading your Bible, during the first part of the book of Matthew, but it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. All those parts in the Bible, they were breathed out by God. Now, what does this mean when we say breathed out or God breathed? This is where we get our title for this installment. And that is the inspiration. Now, what do we mean by inspiration? What is inspiration? And nga naman gitaw na ito, inspiration of scripture. When we talk about inspiration here today, what comes into our mind whenever we hear the word inspiration is this definition probably. The process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Let's say, for example, anyone here, you love watching nature? You have taking long walks, magmuni-muni ka somewhere, sa beach, sa mountain, asa ba nagalan anymore, kung mag-ulan, di ba? When you go for long walks, when you're looking at the sunset, doesn't that, quote-unquote, inspire you? When you're watching a certain movie, a motivational movie, drama or something, doesn't that inspire you to do something or inspire you to have creative ideas? Or for example, if you're here today, and let's say, kung mato ka sa downtown ba, makita ni mo ang crush ni mo, like ani. Some of you, you're saying, inspired kay ka sa adlaw ni mo. Muna yung source of inspiration ninyo, ang crush ninyo. Now, when we talk about inspiration of the Bible, we're not talking of that kind of inspiration. When we say inspiration of the Bible, we're not meaning that when the Bible was made, all those people who wrote the Bible, it wasn't like they were walking one day and they were inspired to write the Bible one day. Parang, uy, naku, nakita, chadani, ako naibutang sa Bible. It's not like that. Inspiration, if it had a definition, in this context, is probably this. Inspiration may be defined as the Holy Spirit's superintending or supervision over the writers so that while writing according to their own styles and personalities, the result was God's word written authoritative, trustworthy, and free from error in the original autographs or in the original manuscripts. In other words, when we say inspiration of the Bible or inspiration of Scripture, it means the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit or of God in the many authors of the Bible, from the Old Testament down to the New Testament. In other words, the author behind the authors is God. It is Him working through these people. Benjamin B. Warfield also said, inspiration is, therefore, usually defined as a supernatural influence exerted on the sacred writers by the Spirit of God, by virtue of which their writings are given divine trustworthiness. In other words, because it was God working through these people, it was Him who breathed out these words. All words that were written by the authors of the Bible, the scripture writers, every single word you read in your Bible, all right, it was divinely inspired by God. Meaning God intended those words to be there. It wasn't like when the writers were writing, ay Lord, mag nakalimot ka ni Lord, akong duhagan ha. Lord, what use mo na to ni Lord? It wasn't like a debate lang ni God. Lord, I don't agree with your first draft. Di ko ganahan. I want to make my own Bible. No, it's not that. They were divinely inspired by God. It was God working through these people. That's what we mean by inspiration. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21 even says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy or scripture comes from someone's own interpretation or from someone's own mind. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. No prophecy and no special revelation such as the Bible. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit working through these people, divinely inspiring to them, and that's why the Bible was made. Now, you might think that parang that sounds similar to another term you probably heard, and that is revelation. Now, revelation is different from inspiration. And let me just qualify for a while. What's the difference between inspiration versus revelation? Revelation is the content or how God made himself known. It's the content. It's the message. That's the revelation. Inspiration naman is how the content is delivered, the method God used. Say, for example, if you're going to go to a restaurant and you see this right here, mga mahilig og meat, let's say you're going to eat meat, you're gonna buy meat. The meat there, the main thing there, that is what we call revelation, ang content niya. But how it was brought to your plate, if you order a meat like this here, whether it's a burger or a steak or a barbecue or whatever that dish may be, that is inspiration. And here, with the Bible, God chose to use people, humans, authors, to make the Bible possible, to make it come to pass, to create it. He used people, divinely inspired people, to create, to produce the Bible. And it's pretty amazing. If you think about it, look at the Bible. It was made in the period within 1,500 years. We might not feel that because we just download or buy a new Bible whenever we feel like it. But for the Bible to be completed, sa pinakasugod na complete siya, it took 1,500 years. It was written in 3 languages by over 40 men in 3 continents. And it contains 66 books. And yet, all those scriptures, all those passages, all those verses, they all come together. There's one unified message of redemption, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amidst the time gaps, the different authors, the different languages that was used, it did not contradict itself. And we're going to learn more about that in Aaron's installment. But that's the point. Even though it was made for such a long time, it all comes together. As if one person ra ang gagama niya. And that tells you, that's why the Bible is the inspired written word of God. Even though it was made by different authors, the author behind the authors is God himself. Think of it as this way, just to expound on it. Let's say if you're going to go on a sailboat, if ever you tried sailing, if you're going to ride on a sailboat, ang mabuhat ra sa sailors is to catch the wind. That's the only thing they can do for them to move their boat. And the same thing with the writers, with the scripture writers. They were different people, different cultures, different backgrounds, different styles, different personalities. Right? But at the end of it, si God ang divinely inspired sa ila. The same thing with the sailboat. You can turn the sail different ways and all that, but at the end of the day, you move according to where the wind moves. It's kind of like that, ang inspiration. The Bible is this divinely inspired. That's why it has authority. It wasn't just made up by some people, some brilliant mind, some smart guy in ancient Israel. But no, it goes beyond that. It was God himself who made it all possible. Meaning it's beyond any human wisdom out there. Because it came from God. That's why it has authority. It comes from God. Now talking about inspiration, let me just talk about the limits of inspiration. Inspiration is limited to the writing of scripture. Not everything the writer wrote or said. So let's say, for example, let's say one of the gospel writers, see Mark, he wrote something divinely inspired by God, and now it's part of the Bible, part of God's word. But it doesn't mean that tanang gisulat ni Mark ay kani holy ni siya, inspired ni sa word ni God. For example, if the scripture writers were alive today, if they post like something sa Facebook, it doesn't mean holy ang gipost sa Facebook. It doesn't mean everything that they wrote or said is divinely inspired. It's limited to the canon of Scripture. When we say the canon of Scripture, it's what's in your Bible. It's limited to that. That's what we mean by divinely inspired. You cannot add to it or subtract it. We're going to learn more about the canon of Scripture, but there's no one else today alive, this world, who can just say, you know what? I have been inspired by God to write this as if on equal levels of word ni God. Because the word of God, every word there is meant by God. No errors as it is. Revelation chapter 22 verse 18 says there, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. We are not to add to what God already made possible or already created, the scriptures. Now you might ask, How about the songs and their sermons? Ever heard of people, you know what? I was inspired to write this song. I was inspired to make this preaching and preach to all of you. What does it mean when we're making songs or sermons about God? Does it mean we're not divinely inspired or sabah? Talking about that, we can be inspired to write songs and preach sermons out of the inspiration from the inspired word of God. In other words, if you're going to try to make a song about God, in Victor Domingate, we're making songs, or if you yourself, you're making songs, or one of these days, you feel like preaching God's word, you feel like God has given you a word to preach to your classmates, your schoolmates, your community. All of that, the sermon, the songs, they are inspired from our inspiration of the word of God. In other words, ang atong inspiration ani comes from God's word. As it says there, out of the inspiration from the inspired word of God. Is that something na parang on equal level with God's word? We cannot say, you know what, this song, it's like the same with the book of Psalms. I was divinely inspired by God. One day, nakos kwarto na ako dito, kamuni-muni ko, and then these lyrics fell into my mind. I'm just like the gospel writers or something. It's not that. But we were inspired by what we read from God's word. Whatever that was stored in our hearts through the chapters we read in God's word. That's what inspired us to write those songs and to make those sermons possible. That's what we mean by those. But talking about scripture, all scripture is God-breathed. It was made by God. It was orchestrated by God. Another thing, all scripture is profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. When you think of the word profitable, it means yielding great returns or something beneficial, something useful. And it's all the more supports the Bible's claim that it has the authority to speak into our lives because it is profitable. It is useful. It works. If you hear someone selling a new product that actually works, for example, someone sells you a new whitening cream. Whitening cream, puti ka dayon. Ah, grabe, no? For the sake of discussion, let's say it really does work. When you apply it, pag matani mo next day, puti na ka. Diba? Meaning, it has the authority to tell people, no, I work. So people will listen to it, subscribe to it, because it works. It's useful. It's profitable. The same thing with the Word of God, with the Bible. It's profitable. It's beneficial. When you read God's Word, as we've talked about last week, the benefits of reading God's Word, there's a lot we can get when we read God's Word. Now, adding to that, what we discussed last week, firstly, the Bible is profitable for teaching. Teaching comes from the Greek word didaskalia, which means to know. If you're here today and you want to know more about God, grow in your understanding, relationship of God, of the things of God, you don't need to go on online and all that. You can just pick up your Bible and start reading it. The Bible is important for teaching because it allows us to know the truth. The Bible talks to us about the truth. Another thing, reproof. It comes from the Greek word elegchos. Bringing it to light. Reproof is an expression of strong disapproval. In other words, the Bible makes us known of our sin. It illuminates, it makes us known of whatever it is that we've done wrong. It shows to us our mistakes, our flaws, our blind spots. That when we read God's word, it doesn't just tell us what we need to know on informative level, it tells us what we need to know for us to grow. If there's something wrong in our lives, the Bible tells us that. It's like a mirror, it tells us. Scripture exposes the depravity of man's heart. That's why it's good for reproof. It exposes us of our own deceit, of our own mistakes. Another thing, Scripture or the Bible or God's Word is profitable for correction. Correction, whenever you feel like correcting someone or even for yourself, it's always good to go through the Bible. It comes from the Greek word epanorthosis, which means to make straight again, to straighten something that's crooked or bent. In other words, if you feel like you have in your victory group, your friend, your churchmate, you feel like, ay, nasa isayip na buhat, a good basis to know if what person did was wrong is to look at what the Bible has to say. That's why it's good for correction. And lastly, it says there, training. It's good for training, to instruct. It's good for us to train us to grow in our maturity, in our relationship with God. That's why the Bible is profitable. It says here palang, the goal of Christianity is to be more like Christ day by day, and only the Spirit of God can do just that. If the goal of Christianity is to become more like Jesus, and only the Holy Spirit could do that, That's why we need God's Word. Because it is the Holy Spirit who leads us to understand the Word of God. So the more we read it, the more we get trained, the more we grow, the more we get taught, corrected, reproofed. That's why importante marit ang Word ng God. It is profitable. It has the authority to speak into our lives. A couple of things. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 17, it says there as well, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Meaning, yes, all scripture is God-breathed. It is profitable. But not just that, it is profitable so that man may be complete, equipped for every good work God has placed before us, or God has called us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10, it says there that we are God's workmanship, and He has prepared good works for us in advance. Meaning, God has a purpose for you in this world. He has good works that He wants you to do. Whether that be in your workplace, your campus, your communities, He wants you to do those certain things. And for us to be equipped and ready for it, we need God's Word. Imagine soldiers, if they were to be deployed in the battlefield. Imagine if sundalo ka, you're deployed to the battlefield. Pero wala kay pusil. Wala kay ammunition. Wala kay any equipment with you. Kung sa sarina ni mo karon, muna ka gipadala ka sa gira. Jess, you're gonna be drafted to the Philippine Army. Go. Whatever you're wearing, whatever it is that you have you with you, go. Muna na. Away na dito. Go na. Imagine if that was you. You're ill-equipped. You don't know what to do. You don't have what you need to fight. You think you'd be an effective soldier out there in the battlefield? Probably not. Most likely not. Because you're not equipped. It's the same thing with us. God has prepared good works for us to do and for us to be ready to accomplish it. For us to be equipped to do it. So we may be complete. In some versions, competent. Competent to do it. We need God's Word. We need God's Word to be equipped, to be ready to accomplish those things. Perhaps some of you today, God has called you to reach out to certain people, to talk to certain people, to preach the gospel to these certain people, and you don't know what to do, how to go about it, what to share. God has called you to do ministry to certain people. And you know what? The answer to us may lie on God's Word. When you read God's Word, it tells you what to share, how to go about it. It equips you. It trains us. That's why important ang Word ni God. Just to cap it off, in Psalms 119, 160, it says here, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. To encapsulate everything about the Bible and why it has authority, it was divinely inspired by God, and what God did, what God made, because it came from Him, whatever is written in the Bible is what we call truth. The Bible has authority because what it has to say to us is truth. It's not like something made up by just any other mind out there, by some scientist or something. It was divinely inspired by God, and it is the truth. In a world right now, we're being plagued by fake news, fake information. Perhaps for some of you, you don't know who to trust, who to subscribe, who to believe in certain issues, certain things in our life. The good thing is there's one sure thing that we should ought to subscribe and listen to, and that is God's Word. It says here, the sum of your word is truth. The entirety of God's word is truth. Everything and everything that we read in God's word is truth. It is true. It's not wrong. It does not deny itself. It is truth. And it's for our benefit. And that's why it has the authority. Because it is truth. Not like any other things out there. It is truth. Now, speaking about truth, the Bible points, of course, to Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we want to be reminded with the truth, we want to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the truth, then we need to read the Word of God, the sum of all the truth. That's why the Bible has authority. This is only the first part of the authority of Scripture. Next week, we're going to continue with the other part. But for now, I'm going to end with that. Read God's Word, church, because it has the authority to speak into your life. If you're willing to listen to other people of authority, how much more something that came from God? Kung maminaw tag memo sa tong boss, memo from our teachers or something, or rules from our parents, would we not want to listen and hear what God has to say to us as well? it has the authority to speak into our life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.